Okay, good morning, everyone. We continue our Wednesday morning coffee, donuts, and 10 minutes of inspiration from Sha'arim B'Tfilah on page Kuf Zamech Zayin, 167 in Sha'arim B'Tfilah. Os Dalad, we're on the Pirkei Siyum, the concluding chapters of this outstanding, extraordinary work in which Rav Pinkus has been inspiring not only our davening, but our entire day and week. Ksiv Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, the Pasuk says that God is the Jewish people's mikveh. V'darshu chazal, our rabbis learn, miloshon mikveh tahara. The notion of a mikveh is an analogy to the idea of the mikveh in which we immerse. A person who's contaminated, a person who's tamei, we associate it with women today, but the truth is a man as well. Those who go up to Har HaBayis have to properly prepare and go to a kosher mikveh. Many men have the custom of going to a mikveh, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, some daily. So Chazal say when the Pasuk describes as a metaphor, as an analogy, that God is for us like a mikveh, it's referring to a mikveh that we immerse in. V'yadu ma'asha amr balei avoda, shebol arame shekamo mikveh, kalachalos atara hiraka shekulo shakua besoch mea tahara. So how does a mikveh work? It only works when you're entirely immersed underneath. The main reason there's a mikveh lady to supervise women's immersion is because of their long, first of all, to make sure that there are no barriers, nothing that would nullify their immersion, but also that their long hair all goes under the water. If one single strand of hair remains outside the water, even if a person's entire body and the rest of their head is underwater, it's not a complete immersion, and it does not have its transformational impact. So the same is true. The reason God is compared to a mikvah is that we should be entirely immersed in our relationship with Hashem. When we're talking to God, when we're communicating, when we're connecting, when we're feeling God's loving embrace, feeling His guiding hand, one shouldn't be distracted, and you shouldn't be divided, and you shouldn't be preoccupied. The same way you're in the mikveh, you're entirely immersed. If one strand is out, it's mikveh, it's not a good mikveh experience. So too you're davening, so too you're learning, so too you're trying to connect with Emunah at that moment. If one strand, if one element of you, if one component of your mind is elsewhere, it can undermine the entire experience. Just as an aside, it's interesting, the Rambam says, when is it that the mikveh has the transformational impact? Not when you're underwater. Even though going in the mikveh is what transforms you, but it's not, you don't become tahor when you're underwater. The Rambam describes it's when you emerge from the mikveh that you become tahor. Rabbi Soloveitchik in Ala Tshuva also describes that the notion of tshuva is not when you are immersed in Aseres Yimei Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. It's when you emerge from the mikveh. So when you come out of Yom Kippur, how do we take all that we've learned, all that we've sought to observe and integrate into our lives, how do we execute on that in daily life? And he says, we've already quoted the Tur, who says, davening in a certain sense is like prophecy. They're really one thing. When a prophet would receive prophecy, they would be in the ultimate rendezvous with the Almighty, the ultimate intimate connection with Hashem. They would submit and forfeit all their own faculties, all their own awareness, all their own experience, simply, exclusively dedicated to that moment, that union in which they were drawing from Hashem. Excuse me. Bachalom adaber bo, just like the prophets are described as bachalom in a dream adaber bo, prophecy was likened, with the exception, there's one prophet who was able to receive prophecy when he was awake. Who was that? Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? One of the 13 principles of faith is that Moshe is a categorically different prophet. The normal rules of prophecy, it has to be in your sleep, it's like a dream, only Hashem can initiate. All these normal rules of prophecy, Moshe was an exception to those rules. The Rambam says that the moment the prophet was receiving that prophecy from Hashem, again, all their faculties weren't working as they normally do. Person wasn't aware and conscious and mindful. They were as if in a dream. when we're in a dream, so to say, we're not aware of our arms and legs and our faculties. We're not hungry, we're not tired, we're not... All the normal rules that govern our lives are suspended. When you're sleeping and you're in a dream, you're somewhere else, unaware of what your body's doing in real life. To the extent that they're sleepwalkers, to the extent that they're people who have actual challenges, that when they're lost in the dream, they're so unaware of everything else going on, even with their own body. The Rambam says that was Nevuah, that was prophecy. The prophet was so lost in their connection, their engagement with Hashem, as if in a dream they were unaware of everything else. In the Navi Malachim it says, a prophet was described as a crazy person, a meshuga. At the moment a prophet was in prophecy, I don't know, they looked like they were unconscious, they looked like they were having a seizure, they looked like they were in a deep sleepwalking. I don't know exactly what they look like, but to the extent that the Navi describes the person so present with Hashem, so unaware and so not caring about everything else, they looked like a nutcase. And the same is true when we daven. When you daven, you're trying to attain prophecy. Not literally, if not literally, at least figuratively. So that means that the moment we're in davening, we're meditating, we're studying, we're thinking, and then finally we're standing before Hashem trying to communicate, trying to connect, trying to feel gratitude and praise, trying to feel dependent, the humility of needing Him for all that we rely on. And at that moment, there is no other world. There's no phone beeping in our pocket. There's no meeting I have to get to. There's no person talking to my left. There's no person davening out loud on my right. There's no, it's too cold, it's too hot, the chazan's good, the rabbi spoke too long, I can't wait for the gala kiddush. There's no, none of the other things that totally distract us in our world exist if our davening is to be likened to the prophecy of a prophet. I'm not hungry. I'm not tired. I don't need to sit. I don't need to stand. Whatever the sensitivities and awareness I carry the rest of the time, again, I'm not suggesting this is easy, nor that it's easy to attain three times a day or one time a day or one time a week. But to get to that level, our aspiration should be, and inspiration should be, to get to a level where davening, one gets lost in davening like you get lost in prophecy. You are immersed in davening like you're immersed in the mikvah. And it's true for the totality of davening. And I'll tell you an incredible insight to conclude. You know, we're not up to Parsha Shlach at all, but the story of the chait of the Meraglim, the mistake the spies made, my Rosh Hashiva from Karim Yavna, Rav Goldwicht, famously said, appears in his Sefer, Asifus Marachos, the mistake of the spies, these were holy, noble men. These were the Gedolei Ador, the most righteous scholars of the generation. How could they have failed so miserably that they tried to object to God escorting them into the Holy Land? How could it possibly be? How could it be? So, Rav Goldwicht suggested, and it's based on earlier sources, that the Meraglim had very noble intent. The desert was a spiritual lifestyle. You lived off the man, the slav, the water from the Be'er, from the well of Miriam. You were protected from the clouds. You had no physical needs. You could be exclusively dedicated to spiritual pursuit. And then you go into Israel. Now you got to set up a judicial system. You got to set up an army. You got to set up a police force, an agricultural society. All of a sudden, you have to be occupied with the physical world. The Meraglim objected, and they said, no, we don't want to be distracted. We don't want to be in the physical world. We want to be purely spiritual. And that was a mistake. Eretz Yisrael is a place of mitzvos hatuliyos ba'aretz. One builds a bridge to heaven and earth. You transform the soil of the earth into the opportunity from a mitzvah only in Israel. It's a unique place on earth, and that was the mission Hashem had for them. However, the Meraglim were wrong. We reject them, and we continue to suffer the punishment, the consequences for their miscalculation until today. But there's one time the Meraglim were right. Where do we learn the concept of a minyan from? That it takes 10 men, 10 Jews to be a minyan. Where do we learn a minyan from? Ha'eda harazos. And Eda is 10, because there were 12 spies, minus Kalev and Yehoshua is 10. There were 10 spies. We learn an Eda, a minion, from the Meraglim. Why would you learn an Eda? Why would you learn minion from the Meraglim? If they were so wrong, if we reject their attitude and philosophy, why would we learn the concept of minion from them? So I heard first from Dr. Yitzchak Belazan, Zichrono Livracha, a beautiful idea. You know why? The Meraglim are wrong the entire day. We go to work, we have a synthesis with our worldly activities and spirituality, we merge the two. The Meraglim are wrong. But you know when the Meraglim are right? When it's time to daven. We learn the concept of a minyan. When it's time to daven, that's when we invoke the lesson, the attitude of the Meraglim. That there is nothing else in the world. That all we want is spirituality. That the physical doesn't exist. We are angelic, we transcend. Three times a day, when we're with a minyan, the Meraglim were right. Even if the Meraglim are wrong the rest of the day. So it's true for tefillah, and we end here, it's true for everything in our day. Mindfulness is to be present in all that we're doing. Not only mikvah Yisrael Hashem, but whatever we're engaged in, to be there, to be fully immersed in what we're doing, because when one strand is out, whether it's in the mikvah, whether it's at dinner with your spouse, at the playground with your child, in davening with Hashem, when one piece of you is elsewhere, it undermines the entire process. Have a fantastic day.